Welcome to Small Steps, Giant Leaps, a NASA Apple Knowledge Services podcast. I'm your host for today's episode, Andres Almeida. In each episode, we focus on the role NASA technical workforce plays in advancing aeronautics, space exploration, and innovations here on Earth. Effective program and project management is a crucial core element of NASA's success. The agency is a recognized global leader in program and project management and the long-term planning that space exploration and science and aeronautics research requires. Today, we're going to speak with Dave Mitchell, who is NASA's Chief Program Management Officer. Dave is the first person to take on this role, and he draws from extensive experience as an engineer and project manager in an impressive career. Prior to coming aboard at NASA headquarters, from 2015 to January 2021, Dave was the director of Goddard's Flight Projects Directorate, where he was responsible for overseeing a portfolio which included more than 80 missions, from small satellites to flagship missions like the James Webb Space Telescope. Dave has been a project manager for the GOES, MAVEN, and CSER projects, and has also served as a director of the Engineering and Technology Directorate at NASA Goddard. We'll ask Dave about the challenges of taking on a new role at the agency, how he set the first areas of focus for the role, and how a small staff with a broad mandate is working to improve project management across the entire spectrum of NASA's programs. Let's get started. Dave, welcome, and thank you for joining us today.
My pleasure. Good to be here.
For listeners who may not be familiar with the Chief Program Management Officer, when did NASA create the Chief Program Management Officer role, and why?
Sure. This was started actually in the summer of 2021 when a Tiger team was put together by Pam Elroy to look at how NASA was performing when it came to acquisitions and program project management. Tiger team led by somebody by the name of Greg Robinson, who was the James Webb Space Telescope program manager, solicited a number of people to join him on this endeavor at Pam's request. So he reached out to me. I was at Goddard at the time, Goddard Space Flight Center. And sure, it was a new adventure, and why not learn a little more at the agency level about these kinds of initiatives, endeavors, and it was something that our leadership was interested in looking into. So I said, certainly, yes, I'll join you and continue my day job at Goddard while we are working through this. So in the summer of 2021 and into the fall, this small group of people looked at and interviewed many people around the agency on how we were doing with acquisitions and program project management. As a part of that, it was, and a reason behind this was there was a concern that we weren't always performing as best we could with our programs and projects, and our stakeholders were concerned about this. At the end of the Tiger Team activity, Greg and the team briefed the Agency Program Management Council about what we found out, as well as provided a number of recommendations. This was in December of 2021. Shortly thereafter, I received a call from leadership here at headquarters asking me if I'd be interested in perhaps being, or throwing my hat in the ring, I'll say, for the Chief Program Management Officer, which I decided after having worked at 35 years at Goddard, why not? Why not throw my hat in the ring? A little while later, I was selected in January 2022 to be the first Agency Program Management Officer. So that's how it all started. And it's a lesson to you out there. And in my case, be careful what you volunteer for, because you never know where it'll lead. In this case, it led to something completely different outside my comfort zone in terms of working so many years at Goddard and now coming to headquarters. But it's been great. I'm really happy I did it. And here we are over 2 years into the endeavor.
This is indeed a completely new role, not only to you, but to the agency. So what are the challenges of something like that?
Yeah, so a lot of my many years at NASA were focused on science mission directorate type missions, such as the James Webb Space Telescope and so many other activities through the years. And so the challenge for me personally was the other parts of NASA, such as aeronautics, such as exploration systems, such as human spaceflight with the space operations, space technology, and the mission support. So all these other directorates, I had to build new relationships with, because I just, quite frankly, had not worked with those groups. So that's part of the challenge. But the other part of the challenge is you're walking into this and people are looking at you like, what are you doing for me? You know, so why are you here? You know, and so, you know, I had to build those relationships. I kind of joke that I'm an office without money or authority. It's really an office of influence. So I was asked to come up here and hopefully with my history, work with the mission directorates on ideas for improvement. And so it's more of an influencing type activity. And so that was new for me personally. You know, I was used to being a project manager where you're in charge. You have the resources, the money, the people, and typically large teams. Now I'm working with a group that's literally a handful of people. And so it's really leveraging off of the mission directorates and the centers and so on to get the work done.
And you've had an exciting career in project management at NASA. Could you tell us how your early experiences informed the way you approach this role?
Sure. I've been working within the Flight Projects Directorate at Goddard since 1990, and all those decades on projects, and eventually got to the point of being a project manager. And then toward the end of that period, being the director of the Flight Projects Directorate itself, which had over 80 missions in its portfolio, all from early development all the way through operations phases of these missions and everything else in between. So I had that kind of experience, many, many lessons, good and bad, you know, painful lessons when it came to things that happen on various missions to draw from, so that when I came into this agency level, even though, you know, aeronautics is quite different than science missions or human spaceflight, many of the, I'll say, the tools in the toolbox of a project manager apply irrespective of the mission directorate. So I have a lot of ideas. I can't say I have all the right ideas, but certainly when I'm in these agency level activities and working with the mission directorates and the centers and so on, you know, I just pull from my history on ways I solved problems. And, you know, I'm finding it's working pretty well, that it does cross over to the other types of missions here at the agency. I can draw from my history.
So how did you go about setting your early focus areas for CPMO?
Yeah, so my model for approaching this new job was to really take the results from this acquisition and program and project management Tiger team that was left off, I'll say, presented out to the agency program management council in December of 2021. And so fast forward a month or so, and I come in new to the job, I took a lot of the recommendations that came from that Tiger team to lay out, here's the first things we want to go after. So we were very interested, for example, in the areas of program management, project management, community of practice. We were very interested in and pursuing, how do we best go about early acquisition, early formulation? How do we work through independent assessments? So we're making sure that these high dollar value programs and projects are being looked at from an independent viewpoint to help inform our leadership as we're running down the tracks. How do we really look at the best ways to make sure project management performance, cost, schedule, technical, safety, all these things are embraced to the best of our ability? Certainly, the kind of work we do at NASA is many times one of a kind or high risk. And so there's discoveries along the way. So there are going to be surprises, but what can we do in the early formulation phases to make sure that we're set up for success as best as possible? So again, I took from the Tiger team recommendations, areas to go pursue. And then as a part of that, I also had to bring on a few people. So I quickly brought on board people from other parts of the agency. You know, several were within the headquarters building. Others were from the centers. And we brought this group together, and we've been at it for 2 years now and really excited about the progress we've made, not only on what was originally recommended from the Tiger team activity, but also new initiatives. I feel like we're a continuously learning organization, and we identify areas that need work, we're going to go pursue it, and we pursue it with vigor.
One of your focuses is developing a NASA-wide project management community of practice. How do you intend to build and strengthen these connections?
Yes, this is really one that's so important, and it's so important for our next generation in terms of developing that community of practice. But several areas we're pursuing in this regard is we have something called a PM Coalition, Project Management Coalition, and it's a community of practice that's on the well over 100 people from around the agency that are either active project managers or project manager pipeline people, I'll say, people that are coming up aspiring to be project managers. And they get together on a regular basis to talk about best practices and just good ideas. What I'm excited about is it's people that are represented across all the centers and all the mission directorates. So I've been concerned in the past about some of our, I'll say, siloing of our communities. And so now we're breaking down those silos and we're working across those. So I'm excited about that part of it. We have something called the PM Symposium. We initiated last year. The very first one was at the Jet Propulsion Lab in Pasadena in May of 2023. And it brought together a community from, again, around the agency. And over a couple of days, various practitioners would present lessons learned, ideas, best practices. And, you know, not only that kind of activity, but also just the cross-pollinization, having people in the same place together to share ideas, I think is so important. The other thing I really am excited in that regard is that we hold that the same week the agency has a cost and schedule symposium put on by the Chief Financial Officers Organization. And so at JPL last year, we had people going to one or the other, and during the course of a couple of days, you'd look at the agenda, you cross over to the other group and hear some of their activities on the cost and schedule side. Of course, cost and schedule is so integral to project management, so I thought it was great to do that. This year, we're going to do it at the Langley Research Center in April, and so again, it'll be that same kind of community, but it's only grown, and I'm excited about the people that are coming out to this, the prominence of some of the speakers, you know, that are from some of our largest missions in the agency, as well as the smaller ones. And we have people coming from the independent assessment communities that are supporting us there as well. So really looking forward to the April edition of this year. And we intend to continue to do this on an annual basis. Another area that we've been working with the PM community of practice is in something called the Program or Project Management Board. This is a group that's been brought together that meets on a monthly basis, and it is comprised of people from around the agency. Every center is represented. Every mission directorate is part of this, as well as some of the key offices at headquarters, including Chief Engineer, Office of Safety and Mission Assurance, contracts, legal. We come together on a monthly basis in this activity, and we talk about, again, lessons learned. We talk about, as we're setting up a new program, how we want to tailor requirements, and we present out to this group and get feedback. So it's a two-way street. It's allowing the whole community across the agency to hear how one program might want to operate, it's proposing to operate, but it also gives that one program the opportunity to hear from these other groups about how they would do things. So I love the intellectual discussion there, and we come out with great products. So I'm excited about what's happening in that forum. Another thing I want to mention is we've reinstituted something called the Program Management Excellence Awards. And this is something we want to do on an annual basis. The last time this happened at an agency level was actually, I believe, back in 2017. So we brought this back into play. And we're looking to make selections and present the awards at the PM Symposium that I just talked about. And it's for early career pipeline type PMs, as well as actual PMs that have been doing some great work, as well as project management teams. So the other thing I like, the synergy with the PM Symposium in this regard, is the people that are selected as Project Management Excellent Awardees have the opportunity to share their own lessons from their experiences at the PM Symposium. So I'm really excited about that prospect.
And in project management, it's important that schedule is king. How do you approach that mindset?
This goes back to my days as a project manager on a particular Mars mission called MAVEN. And like any Mars mission, we have about roughly about 3 weeks to launch. And if you miss that launch window, you have to stand down for 26 months until Earth and Mars are in the proper relative location that we can efficiently get to the red planet. So that sets the mindset up that every day is gold, schedule is king. And it doesn't mean we cut corners. It means we are very much active on getting to decisions and getting to them quickly and moving on. It doesn't mean if you make a decision that didn't quite work out the way you hoped, you circle back and you do something else. But the fact that you know you have a planetary window staring at you really pushes that along. And the other part is that I and the team were very intentional about clawing back schedule reserve. So we're in the middle of building this spacecraft, putting it together. But every day we're looking at, okay, where can we do better? Where can we find more efficiencies? Because we're going to have problems. We know every project has technical challenges along the way. So if you can mine for gold, schedule gold earlier, you need to be active at it every day. So that's my mantra. And really, it doesn't have to be a Mars mission to operate that way. Even if it's an Earth orbiting mission, you could launch any day of the year. If you have that kind of mindset, guarantee you're going to get to the launch pad earlier in that regard. So I'm constantly pushing for how we can be more efficient, how we can tie off decisions quicker. And it can be as simple as just standard review gates. I'll give one specific example. If you're walking into, say, a preliminary design review and you have a scheduled 3-day review, what I would do with our review team chair, the independent reviewer, is I would say, I know we're scheduled for 3 days, but I want you and your team to stay with us for a fourth day. And the fourth day is just work through all the action items that were identified in the previous 3 days and see if we can work off as many as possible. And it saved us a lot of time with the team that we could, in the same week with everybody together, we're not chasing down people months later trying to get something closed off. We got to, here's the answer. And if they accepted it, we were done with it. So it's those kinds of things that I would do when it came to schedule as king. But I don't want anybody to think that the safety aspect, the technical excellence was secondary. It wasn't. It was just a mindset of getting to the decisions quicker and clawing back reserves as you can.
Why do you want to focus on the commitments made at key decision points?
Our external stakeholders were increasingly concerned about some of our project performance. One of the keys behind meeting our commitments is what we sign up to. So we have these gates or big life cycle reviews, like a preliminary design review or a critical design review, et cetera. And then following these, we'll also have something called a key decision point, which is a briefing to agency leadership that explains, here's our mission, here's how we're doing technically, here's how we believe we're going to be able to execute cost, schedule, et cetera. And we have an independent group that also comes in and says, here's what we think about how they're doing. So the biggest, in my mind, when it comes to meeting our commitments, the biggest event is something called the key decision point C, which is also known as the confirmation review. It is when we set the line for Congress, OMB, GAO, all these external stakeholders. Here's what we're saying we can do this mission for, dollar-wise, and when we can launch. And our associate administrator has to sign up to that, and we're all a part of that. So we've got to get it right at that juncture. So there's a lot of work we do. My office, in concert with the mission directorates, with the centers, with agency leadership, to ensure we've got that right. And so we put a lot of energy into making sure that we really accept the project's position when it comes to the cost schedule and the technical feasibility of pulling this off. So I'm proud of what the community has done over the last couple of years. And they've been doing it for, quite frankly, decades. But I think we've really honed it well for future KDPCs.
Dave, you have a very small staff and a broad mandate. How do you determine which activities you take on and which ones are out of scope for your team? How has your team obtained successful results?
Yeah, I do have a small staff. They are very, very capable, seasoned people, a lot of great expertise. So certainly lean on that, but we have to do it in concert with the mission directorates and the centers and the offices. So it's a team sport, and the team sport is well beyond my office. And so what we do is, first off, when I came into this, I do focus on starting with the Tiger Team recommendations. And certainly those areas are what we pursued in the beginning. Every year since, in the last 2 years, I'll say, I've come back to the APMC, or the Agency Program Management Council, to tell them, here's what we did in this past year. And here's the ideas we want to go pursue in the next year. What do you think? You know, so we get direct feedback every year from the agency leadership. And when I say leadership, I mean the mission directorates, I mean the A-suite, I mean the center directors and the mission directors. So we get that kind of feedback for the initiatives we're going to pursue in the upcoming year. The other thing I do with my little team within the CPMO is every 6 months we get together for a little retreat. And the retreat is actually right in this building, but we intentionally unplug from our computers and we find a conference room somewhere in the building, and we just talk through, you know, what we're up to and what we ought to be pursuing in the next year in all the themes that we already have under the CPMO. So I'm a big believer in stopping along the way, reflecting on how things have gone and looking forward to the next phase.
And with all that in mind about teamwork, can you tell us about the role diversity, equity, inclusion, and accessibility plays in the CPMO efforts?
Sure. This is another area of real passion for me. Having worked at Goddard for many years and being a senior champion for one of the, what is called the employee resource groups, one of the communities, I learned a lot in that area. And what I'm looking at is making sure we give access to all for these opportunities. These project management positions are high profile, you know, very high visibility. They're certainly tough jobs, but we need to give everybody an opportunity to compete for these kinds of jobs. So I'm certainly looking at how we can do better to position people for competitions, as well as position them by getting them the earlier career opportunities to come up the curve in these areas that will make them viable candidates to be a project manager. So that's one area. We're currently, our team is working about on something called a barrier analysis to try to understand what is causing barriers for certain communities to be, feel like they can compete on these, or why people don't even, in some cases, feel they want to throw their hat in the ring. We want to get past those. And so we're looking this year at something, again, called a barrier analysis to see what is causing those kinds of concerns and what we can do about it.
Wonderful. How does a program and project manager's learning and development contribute to NASA's overall mission success? Which topics do you think are most important for PMs to learn?
Certainly when it comes to technically complex missions, I think you have to really learn the basics first. And what I mean by that is the technical side, working in environments where you're actually, I'll use the term, you know, getting your hands dirty on the design side, or actually on a factory floor or in a test facility. Those kinds of things will pay off in spades decades later when you're in higher level positions where you have to make really hard decisions. That's one part, the technical side. But you've got to learn the contracts side of it. You've got to learn, you know, how to understand the costs, the schedules. Those kinds of things have got to be a part of it too. So you've got to have all aspects of it. And you can learn it in different ways. You can learn it by being on, for example, source evaluation boards or performance evaluation boards, or, you know, developing proposals if you're part of a team that's pursuing through announcements of opportunity. There's many ways to go about it. There's just simply raising your hand and saying, hey, I want to learn a little more about that. I know I'm a propulsion engineer, but could I get an opportunity to do a detail? And doing detail in like the chief financial officer shop and just learn how they do things. Take those opportunities and you'd be surprised, you know, people will say yes more often than not. Or simple things like, hey, would you mind if I went and shadowed somebody for a little bit? Or went over to this project and sat through a risk management board. Learning that side of a project will really help down the road. So it's all these elements and, you know, give yourself some grace, be patient, but every year think about, okay, what do I want to learn? What should I be pursuing? Whether it's some extra educational courses you might go after or just experiential opportunities, but definitely get beyond the technical and get to the cost, schedule, risk management, all those elements to be a part of being able to be a full project manager.
Can you tell us how independent assessments play a role in effective project management and mission performance? Where do you see opportunities to strengthen independent assessments?
Yeah, this is really critical to our agency, our program's successes. We can get in a position where, you know, a project manager, I'll speak for being a former project manager, we can sometimes be naturally optimistic. We can definitely do this job for this amount of money and this amount of time. But I think it's so important from some outsiders. And, you know, you could say healthy tension, unhealthy tension, or natural tension. I'm not sure what it is. But to have somebody that's looking at something at key checkpoints along the way and help you. I always found an independent assessment team for me personally on a project to help me and the team succeed. You know, they were not adversarial. Sometimes it felt that way, but they were there for your project success. So I treated as such, and I listened intently to what they had to say. Didn't always agree, but that's okay. You know, they're independent. So, you know, we're doing some things in that regard, including we've developed within the CPMO group, just like I was talking about the project management community of practice, we developed something called an independent assessment community of practice. So we're bringing in the standing review board chairs, the independent review team chairs, and having conversations with them. I took it upon myself this year. I've started interviewing one-on-one these independent assessment team chairs to get their perspectives on how things are going with the program. And right now I'm focused on the very large mission class, and I'm learning a lot from that activity. It's amazing. You just set up 30 minutes time, how much you can learn if you really get out of your comfort zone and just, hey, I just want to hear from you.
Tell us about a program or project manager who influenced your career or your way of thinking.
Sure. There's a person that I worked with since the late 1990s by the name of Marty Davis. He came from Goddard, had spent decades in program or project management. And I learned so much from him in multiple ways. But one of the stories I recall that just stuck with me was the way he interacted with the program manager, his counterpart on the contractor community. He was in the middle of a really, really tough project execution phase with a particular contractor organization. And so he literally moved across the country, midway through the country, and basically set up shop where this contractor was developing the system and got to know the group. And he brought some other people and they lived there for a couple of years on and off, going back and forth back home. But one day he was at the facility and he was just reading the local paper and he said, there was an article in there. It said, hey, come on down a town. We're giving away elephant rides, literally elephant rides. So he looked at his counterpart and he said, come on, we're going downtown. We're going to go ride an elephant. And his counterpart's like, what are you talking about? And he said, just come on, let's go. So they went downtown and the two of them got on the back of an elephant together and rode it around. And what he said to me is, once you've ridden an elephant with your counterpart like this, your relationship, it's never the same. And it's never the same in a good way. You've taken that journey together and it worked. I mean, that's just one example of his style. We're all in it for the same reason, for the mission success and, you know, just being a part of that together.
In April 2024, you'll be hosting the second annual PM Symposium at Langley Research Center. What should participants expect to learn from this event? And will there be elephant rides?
I will say there probably will not be elephant rides, unfortunately, but maybe there'll be one or two other really fun activities. I just haven't figured that out yet. That being said, for starters, we're going to hear from various mission directors, project managers. What I like is, again, we're breaking out of the silos. You know, we're cross-pollinating. We're working with people from the aeronautics side to the human spaceflight side to science to space technology. Excited about those opportunities for learning. You're going to hear lessons learned. Probably most importantly, you're going to network. And this is another area where I think we could do better as an agency, and that is crossing those lines and perhaps with these networks, getting, say, a project manager that's worked his or her whole career in science to be able to go work for a while on a human spaceflight endeavor or vice versa. You know, so we'll start making those connections, and not just start, we have been making those connections, but it'll give people an opportunity there to do that.
In a recent episode on this series, Janet Karika, our former space transportation advisor, mentioned you briefed your team about Artemis I. How have you advocated for sharing lessons learned among programs and projects?
I think it's so important that we look at how we're doing our lessons, not only collecting them, but how we're distributing them. And so I've used this visualization in the past to describe my frustration. This goes back years ago. But if you see the last scene of Raiders of the Lost Ark, where the Ark of the Covenant is being moved into a large government warehouse, never to be seen again. Sometimes I feel like we've been like that with some of our lessons learned in the past. I don't feel that today. I think we've done a lot with our partnership with the Chief Knowledge Officer. It came before I came up to this role, I'm just saying. But the Chief Knowledge Officer here at the agency, at the centers and the mission directorates, I think we're really doing well in that regard right now. But it's a constant challenge on how best to, you know, and the new mode of communicating with the next generation. What's the best way to get these lessons out to people? So that's an important part.
Do you have any closing thoughts?
Sure. For starters, in the world of program and project management, it is some of the most exciting work at NASA. I mean, astronauts, yes, that's the top, I got to say, personally. But I'm never going to get there, but I've had the opportunity to be a project manager. And there's something about that. You know, yes, it's intense. There's long hours. But the payoff is in working on these amazing missions. Sometimes I'm like, I can't believe I'm getting paid to do this job, you know, to deliver this kind of mission, this kind of science. Or if you're delivering, you know, sending people up to do amazing things out there. What a thing to be a part of something like that. And just as importantly, not only the mission, the excitement of the mission, but it's to be working with these kind of high-performing teams, incredibly smart, motivated, energetic. I've loved that part of project management. So for those that are considering it, yes, sometimes it's not your best balanced work-life balance. You know, depending if what kind of problems we're having in the middle of integration and test, you might have a phone call at midnight on a Saturday night. You're having a problem in the middle of thermal vacuum testing. What do we do about it? You know, those kinds of things happen. But I think it's such a wonderful part of being a part of the NASA mission. And it's not just the project manager. It's the hundreds of people that are working for that common goal. That's what I've always loved. And to be there on launch day and all of that team is together for that moment, it's just incredible. So I've been blessed, privileged to be a part of this agency for well over three decades. And I just hope everybody that wants to pursue this kind of thing, you know, jump in and enjoy it. It's just been so special for me personally.
Excellent. Dave, thank you for sharing your time with us. Really appreciate it here.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for listening to Small Steps, Giant Leaps. For a transcript of the show, more information on Dave Mitchell and the topics we discussed today, visit our resources page at apple.nasa.gov/podcast. While you're there, check out our monthly publication, Insight, and our quick webinar series. As always, thanks for listening to Small Steps, Giant Leaps.